Hey, what do you have there? Is that a churro? Or
It's a Dole Whip.
it's a dough? I've got my Mickey bar. Hey,
Hey,
let's cheers.
man.
Hey,
Cheers.
cheers. Clink. When you wish. Welcome
Yeah.
back to a very special episode of Sip of Mimos, or as I'm calling it today, When You Sip Upon a Star.
Oh, wow.
This is the internet's premier citrus-based libation podcast, wherein my partner Elliot and I
Hi.
discuss 90s rock and electronica albums.
Yeah.
So growing up in the 90s, or just being a person in the 90s, you had so many amazing, groundbreaking pop culture events happening. You had movies, you had albums, you had TV. One of those inescapable things was the movies of a little company called Walt Disney.
This is
Walt Disney
true.
Pictures. Elliot,
Foamy
did
VHS boxes.
you? Oh yeah. The shells.
The
I have
shells,
I
the
still
shell
have mine.
cases. Yeah.
And so we figured this is an idea that Elliot and I have been bouncing off each other, for a while now. And we would be remiss to have a podcast about 90s music without talking about some of the greatest, not only songs, but movies, not just of the 90s, but of all time. And so today we're going to be discussing some Disney songs and
Culturally of note,
culturally
right?
of note. Oh, I like that.
Moved the media landscape and all that good stuff. So you better mention it, right?
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So for today's very special episode, we're actually breaking new ground. We're bringing on a Disney expert, one of my oldest friends and one of my cherished friends, Nick. Nick, welcome to Sippin' Mimos.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. This is awesome. This is really cool.
Nick, we're so very glad that you were able to be our guest on
Huh? See
this
what you
very
did
special
there?
episode.
Oh,
Did
that
I
was
steal
good.
it from Jake? Did I steal it from Jake?
Oh, let me
I
just
thought you would do that.
let me cross it out.
I want I knew it. I knew
I
it. How you
was
doing,
just
Nick? How's your day?
Oh man, I am doing great. It's awesome to be here, able to get back behind the microphone.
Yeah.
I know you were going to mention. I can introduce myself.
Give
I
yourself a
used to
plug.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's an irrelevant plug at this point, but I was the host of the Mickey and Minutes podcast, a Disney podcast, for about 3 or 4 years. I stopped doing it maybe a little over a year ago, but I miss it. And when I got the call to do this, I was thinking, this is awesome. And maybe, just maybe, I'll bring that podcast back too. And then I'll have you guys
Absolutely.
on whenever I do.
Oh boy.
Oh, I love it. Well, tell us about Mickey Minutes. What kind of stuff would you dive into?
So I called it the short Disney show because I always wanted it to be really concise. I had the idea of like something you can listen to on the monorail ride from your resort to the park and get some information. Then you get to the park and you'd be like, "Hey family, guess what I learned today?" All right.
Oh,
So
I
it was
love it.
basically,
Oh,
yeah,
it's like
like Disney history.
a commute podcast within the parks.
Exactly. You can listen to it on the way to work, whenever, but
Oh,
I would
that's
give
cool
Disney
though.
history on. I focus on theme parks a lot. I love the theme parks. I did some episodes on movies and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of all over the place, but the idea was a short, one commute podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's the short cartoons that Disney put out? Was something Funnies
The
or
Silly Symphonies.
Silly Symphonies? It's kind of
Yeah.
like a Silly Symphonies in a podcast form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
Oh.
my intro music, I want to say this without getting flagged for copyright. My intro music was like the old Steamboat Willie music. I talked over
Oh,
it,
nice.
so maybe it wasn't noticeable, but I
I
mean
think they're cool if you talk over it. I'm pretty worried about this episode because Disney is notoriously litigious. But
yeah,
you
that's what
know.
I've heard. I'll tell you one thing that made me a little nervous about coming on here. My podcast, since I did it by myself, everything was scripted. And
Yeah.
with you guys, I know it's very conversational, so it's like, all right, let's just talk.
We
Yeah,
just
we
chit chat.
like the Sip of Mules is kind of born over sharing mimosas, I think, on a Saturday morning in Austin, where we're just
Is
kind of
true.
Elliot and I really enjoy talking about music and albums, and we both had our backgrounds, and we're just like, hey, start a show where we just have mimosas and, you know, just chat about our favorite albums. And here
That's
we
awesome.
Are.
Jake, yeah. I want to mention something from a old time of our friendship. We've known each other for a long time. And I don't know if you remember this, but we had an idea like, gosh, forever ago to do a podcast.
Uh-oh.
And we recorded one episode at my apartment. Do you remember what that podcast was called?
Oh, man. Uh-oh. I remember it started off with the 90s.
It never got published, by the way.
It never. You have the
I have it somewhere, but.
What was it called?
It was called The Great Movie Pod.
Oh, that's so good.
Like The Great Movie Ride. It was The Great Movie Pod.
When was this, guys?
Dude,
I feel uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about our history together. Sorry, man.
Yeah, this is like, it's cool. I'm still friends with my ex. He's gonna come over for dinner tonight.
You know, I can, it was 2015.
Oh, man.
What? I swooped in. I stole your boy.
Yeah, and then I ended up just doing the same Disney podcast idea by myself. Thanks, Jake.
What was the movie pod going to be? Oh, Disney movies?
It was like Disney movies, yeah. It was going to be Disney movies and stuff. We had a segment that Jake was adamant about. It was going to be called Boy Meets Pod, and we were going to discuss specific Boy Meets World episodes. Do you remember this, Jake?
Oh, man, I think.
We never got around to that, but it was a good idea.
And now the stars of Boy Meets World
have their own podcast.
And isn't it called Boy Meet Pod now?
It probably. They stole that from you.
Wow.
We were ahead of our time.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd y'all meet then?
So Nick and I both came up playing in pop punk bands in San Antonio. And it was 2008. And I think your band needed a new singer and guitar player.
We did.
So I remember you shot me a message. We must have played together. Well,
we met at a mutual friend's house. It was like a bonfire party, and there's a bunch of acoustic guitars there, and we were playing, and we just started chit chatting, and you were like, "Hey, man, do you know how to play Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy?" I was like, "Yeah, bro." So we played that song together. And the bromance was born. And then we played in a band. He joined my band. We were called Forever Golden. We played for a while.
Yeah,
we
man.
Just stayed close since then.
Jake, this is all sounding pretty familiar. I think you might have a pattern with podcast bros.
I think this is a very eye-opening experience right now. I'm having a lot to unpack. So it's been, I guess, like I said, 2008, because it was still MySpace days.
It was, man.
I remember your profile pic. You were wearing a black shirt and you had a black fitted black cap to the side.
I did. It was probably a Fall Out Boy hat. I think it was like Clandestine Industries. Remember that? Pete Wentz's brand.
Yeah, yeah.
I was all about that. I was a fanboy.
That was 15 glorious years now.
Well, Nick, who were your radio rock guys in the 90s then?
All right, gosh, in the 90s, I'm proud to say that when I was growing up, I always said my favorite band is Sugar Ray. So I always, and now I say that was my first favorite band was Sugar Ray.
How about that?
And I've never seen them live.
Did you ever go back to those Mean Machine days?
Dude, yes. What is that? Lemonade and Brownies? That's the name of the album?
I think so.
I'm here too.
One of our very first episodes we covered, it was like
1459.
I'm going to go back and listen to that. That album is unstoppable.
Oh, it was crazy. And then we paired it with the Prodigy's Jolted Generation.
Okay. Yeah. My mom went to the store and she was going to buy me Floored. And she had to ask the lady at the store if it said a lot of bad words because it was parental advisory. And she wasn't sure if I could listen to it. And that was Sugar Ray.
Well, did you ever dig on any electronica guys?
Was Crystal Method. The Crystal Method.
That's one of Jake's faves.
All right, Elliot, when I met you at Jake's wedding. And the first conversation, that we really had, we were talking about whether or not Crystal Method was on the Lost in Space soundtrack. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh,
it's Apollo 440. But there might be a crystal methotune on there. I don't know.
All right, we're gonna fact check this and get back to it.
See, this one of the things, you know, like when we were, my wife and I, we were doing our like table settings, I was like, I know that these two guys, you know, I have so much in common with both of them. I know they're gonna hit it off. And here we are now, 8 months later. And
we were at the Blink 182 table.
Yes. And that was very specific.
Right. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I remember like sitting down next to Nick at the table, at the Blink table. And I was like, oh, we're over here. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Elliot. And you're like, I'm Nick. And then it just was revealed, like, oh, we both had said the same, like, oh, you're the podcast guy. Like,
yeah.
Because I had heard about you and all that. And I had, you know, wanted to check out your Disney podcast. And yeah, how about that?
I'm glad we're finally getting together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I'll be with Lost in Space. No. Oh, busy child is on it.
Busy child. That's what it is. That's them, right? That's
get busy child.
Yeah.
Get
on Vegas.
Child. It is indeed.
Oh, I loved it.
Matt LeBlanc was in that movie.
He was, wasn't he?
Was the dream, yeah, he was.
Wasn't it William Hurt too? Isn't he like the dad?
Yeah, R.I.P.
And
R.I.P.
A really young Lacey Chabert was in that movie.
Really?
She was that little girl, the Hallmark queen.
You know,
Propeller Heads is on there. Fatboy Slim is on there.
So it's just the Sip and Mimos soundtrack movie.
It's like, I'll say this, it's an abbreviated soundtrack. There's like 8 songs on it, and the rest is the score.
So I think you guys need to do an episode on the Lost in Space soundtrack.
I've never actually seen Lost in Space. Gary Oldman is in it? He's a bad guy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He plays the space.
he's the titular space.
That's how good he is.
I feel like he was just always a bad guy in the 90s.
He's Commissioner Gordon, man. Well, yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, The Professional. Holy shit. He's so good in The Professional.
Fifth Element.
Yeah, with like the weird Western accent. Anyways. Oh, Nick, have you seen anything cool recently? Even if it's not a Disney movie? We always ask each other what we've been watching.
Let's see. Most recently, well, on Disney Plus, I'm watching Ahsoka. I'm a Star Wars guy.
Okay, how's that working out?
Yeah. All right, I never watched Rebels, so I'm really lost.
I've heard it's really confusing if you don't know like the deep lore.
Yeah, but as you know, it's a good show. It's a good Star Wars show. There's lightsabers and stuff. It's awesome, but I don't have all the backstory, so I feel left out.
Have you gotten to Thrawn? I know he's like a super fan favorite, and
I just finished the first 2 episodes, and that's it. So no, he's not there yet.
That's perfect casting, Rosario Dawson. I missed Rebels and the Clone Wars as well, but I know the character, and I think Rosario's amazing casting.
Who knew that in order to watch Star Wars, you would have had to watch like Cartoon Network and Disney XD and all this homework?
You know, we've talked about it before.
Yeah,
we've talked about it before, but it's kind of like, remember like reading like comic books in like the 90s, and it was like, you would read a panel, and then up in the top it would be like a little text box, and it would say, you know, for reference, check out Sensational Spider-Man 363. You know,
oh, that's a great, just do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of like what a lot of our favorite shows are like now. You have to go back and, you know, watch the TV show, or
yeah, you gotta put footnotes on all the Disney Plus Star Wars and Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Nick, when did you like first get into like the Disney thing? Because and do you mind the term Disney adult? Because I know you're a fan. I know you go to the parks, and I know you enjoy the history and clearly and like in the music and the movies and all that. What are your thoughts? And how did this start for you?
So it started literally at infancy. I grew up in Miami, Florida, so just a few hours away from Walt Disney World. Some of my very first memories were at Disney World. We were annual pass holders. My parents would take us to Disney 2 or 3 times a year. We would pile into an RV and stay at the campground at Disney World, Fort Wilderness. So it's been just my entire life of just being a Disney fan. And as far as becoming, you know, a Disney adult, as they say, I don't mind that term. I think it defines me very well. I'm an adult and I love Disney. I take no offense to that term.
All right, I like that. Taking it back.
I think it's kind of a term of endearment.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I know there's, you know, there's some shade with that, but, you know, whatever. But I love it. And as far as, like, me getting into it as an adult again, I think I really found it as an adult, like, around college. I started listening to actually some other really good podcasts, some that are defunct now. But Wedway Radio was a podcast, a Disney history podcast that just inspired me, and they were incredible. Yep. Started listening to like Lou Mangiello's podcast, WDW Radio, and that kind of really getting me into like that aspect of Disney adulting. And then I started just going on my own. And then I met my wife, and we started going to Disney World together all the time. So
shout out Nick's wife, she rules.
Yeah.
Yes, lovely. I met her too. She was at the Blink table.
Yeah, the Blink table.
You know, but you know, growing up, you know, we had the I mentioned it earlier, but we had the, you know, the clamshell, you know, movies.
Yeah. There you classic. Go.
When we moved, awesome. I said, "Mom, don't give those away. I want them." And now they're in my studio at, you know, like prized possessions.
Have you ever started turning yellow? That yellowish color?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't know. Like I kind of had the same experience. As I got older, you know, I always had like an affinity for especially the 90s stuff. But as we'll get into it more, some of the 80s stuff too. And going back and like researching, it's all kind of intertwined. Did y'all hear some Studio Ghibli stuff like references in some of your research?
Yes. I mean, Studio Ghibli was distributed by Disney. They got the distribution rights in the United States, right?
And I think that's what it was, but I know there a lot of them were really inspired by Elliot. I know you're a fan of Miyazaki.
Yeah, Miyazaki, sure.
Like, he was a huge inspiration. I don't know. I love going back and really diving into the meat of this stuff. It's really cool.
Maybe we can talk about it, but they started acquiring a lot of what is now referred to as content and releasing it and all that.
IP.
IP.
Yeah.
Intellectual property.
Intellectual property.
Thanks, Bob Iger, the acquisition guy. Started with Michael Eisner, but Bob Iger, that's legacy, man.
How about you, Eli? What was your experience growing up with the films of Disney?
We had the clamshells. They were ever present in our home. We lived in Orlando. So, like, but, you know, we weren't, like, when I moved out of Florida as a kid, you know, I moved to Michigan and people ask like, oh, did you go like Disney like every day? I'm like, well, no, it's not like right there. It's just, you know, but yeah, it was a thing. And like, but like, was Mary Poppins? Is that Disney?
Yeah.
Okay. So some of it's a little blurry for me. Also, in recent years, they've acquired everything. So even Marvel is Disney, Fox is Disney, you know, but we're a time machine podcast. So, yeah, watching those movies as a kid, I sure loved Robin Hood, you know, with the foxes. But, you know, that's like 78 or something.
73. When was that one? 1973.
When like the animation had like some scratches on it and all that.
Yeah.
I recently like watched 101 Dalmatians. It looks fantastic. It looks like a Burt Bacharach cover. It looks so cool. I love, like, the colors are amazing, you know. And then they kind of stopped for a minute, right? Like, I think after Sleeping Beauty, they stopped doing stuff, something like feature lengths. Yeah?
It was around World War II, right? Is when a lot of the artists went to the army?
Yeah, the studio started being used. They were outsourcing the animators, I guess, to make propaganda films to support the war effort. And that was really interesting. And you mentioned Sleeping Beauty. Let me just say, there's a really great documentary you should watch called Waking Sleeping Beauty. And it's about exactly what you're talking about. The animation side of Disney kind of slowing down, going under. And then what ended up happening with the Disney Renaissance, the 90s Disney movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great documentary. Go watch it.
I'll have to check that. I've been in a real big documentary phase. I'm adding that to my Letterbox. Lick. Do you use Letterbox?
No, what's Letterbox?
It's essentially like a movie and TV show categorizing app where you can kind of record pretty much every movie that you've ever watched. You can rate them and comment on them and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
That's
you
awesome.
You can critique movies as you watch them, and then your friends can spy on your viewing habits.
I like that. I'm gonna try
it's
to use
pretty
that.
Fun.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, you got to make your Disney list. So big Disney fan from the jump. How many trips have you made to the parks, and do you like World or Land more?
Let's see, more trips than I can count, and I'm a big Disney World guy just because that's my home. I consider Magic Kingdom my home park, but Disneyland is quaint and beautiful and amazing. But I'm a Disney World guy at heart. I love Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, all of it.
Epcot, man. Wow. Epcot's still around, still kicking?
It is, man. Let's go drink around the world.
Yeah.
I remember I went to Epcot once as a kid and tried like wontons for the first time, and it shattered my brain.
Ah, that's a cool memory.
Oh, it was great. They were flat. I don't know. Maybe they weren't wontons. Maybe I just was picking up cigarette butts.
I think I don't know if I've told the story on the show, but my first concert ever that I can remember actually took place in Disney World.
At the House of Blues?
No, it was when it was still downtown Disney, there was a stage. I think it was right across the street, right across the way from the World of Disney store. And we went...
It's still there.
The stage, right?
Stage is still there.
And so we went, and my mom and sister stayed at the hotel, and my dad and I went to downtown Disney, and there was a cover band playing called All Stars or 80s All Stars. And the guy, they played 80 songs. And I just remember the guitar player was just like shredding. The part that sticks out the most is the singer was like, okay, now our guitar player is going to do a hair solo. And so the guitar player walks up to the front of the stage and like fluffs his hair. And then he walks back, and they were like, all right, give it up for our guitar player. And that's like my
80s.
First, my first like musical live music memory. Weirdly, there was 80s All-Stars at Downtown Disney.
At Downtown Disney.
Interesting. Awesome. The amount of property they own in Florida is staggering.
Still room. They can still add more things.
Well, you kind of touched on it earlier, but you know, Disney now owns Marvel, and I love it, and Fox, because I don't know if y'all saw this, but they're dropping a Wolverine versus Predator comic sometime in the near future.
Interesting.
Two of my favorites. I'm very excited for it. One can't be killed. What was that?
I said, you must be excited for Wolverine and Deadpool.
Very.
Double Three looks to be a fun time at the movies.
I'm a sucker for like a crossover, which is, you know, what we're doing tonight with our show. Hey!
Hey, look at that. Yeah. All right.
Segue.
But, okay. So normally Elliot and I will give each other, an album, 90s rock or electronica.
Mm-hmm.
But we're putting that on to our guests tonight. And I can't imagine anyone better suited to handle the task. Even though after like listening and looking at the amount of movies that came out in the 90s, it's kind of an unenviable one. So we asked Nick to pick three of his favorite songs from the 90s, and two from the Disney decades. We're going to call those the eras. The eras songs.
Legacy.
The legacy songs. Yeah, so Nick made us a playlist. And let's go ahead and dive in. What y'all think?
Should we, I don't know, here we go? How does Peter Pan say it?
Here we go.
That's
that was good, right?
That was perfect.
We got the right guy.
Let's do it. Ready?
Here we go.
We were like harmonizing there. That sounded good.
That's awesome.
Second moon on the left, and then until Waffle House.
Or whatever. I don't know where you're going, man.
What's the line? I forget. Line.
Right. Second star to the right and straight on till morning.
There
Elliot,
it is.
Elliot got lost on the way to Neverland.
But I found a Waffle House, so I'm fine.
It's all good.
All right.
So Nick, did you have any one song you wanted to start with?
Since you gave me three songs from the 90s, I figured I'd go in chronological order.
Okay, love that.
And all right, so like you said, 90s Disney songs is like the peak, like the pinnacle of all Disney music. So yes, that was extremely hard. Thanks for that.
This is this is the Renaissance now, right? This is the Alan
Disney
Menken
Renaissance.
And Howard Ashman, the Menken era.
You are absolutely correct. Except
boom.
I ended up kind of going in a very personal direction for me. So not all of the songs I picked were Alan Menken songs.
Okay. Sure.
So I'm gonna start off with one. 1995 is the year. The Goof Troop has been off the air for about, you know, or maybe it's still on the air. I don't know. This movie took place 3 years after The Goof Troop. Movie is called A Goofy Movie. And the song I'm talking about is Eye to Eye. Eye to Eye, written by Patrick DeRemus, or Reamer. I can't even read my own handwriting. It's one of
Jake's got it on picture disc over here. He's showing off.
I love that. I love that.
Brag.
So, all right, I picked this song because, number one, it's one of the most iconic 90s Disney songs ever. And number two, because I know that Jake is a Goofy Movie stan over here.
I'm familiar as well. I've gathered.
I love the Goofy Movie. Just off camera, I have a Powerline Pop that's one of my prized possessions. I love it. Okay, go on.
Spectacular. So, all right, so I was looking up this song because, you know, obviously it's just a fantastic, great song, but I wanted to learn more about it and be able to talk about it on this show. And so it's performed by Tevin Campbell and Rosie Gaines. And something interesting, you may know that Tevin Campbell was like a 90s pop star. He put out his own debut album called T-E-V-I-N, Tevin, all caps. And he had a song called... Tell Me What You Want Me to Do, that peaked at number 6 on Billboard. This was all before Goofy Movie. But I feel like, in my brain at least, Goofy Movie is what made him, you know, who he is, to me anyways. Because that song, Eye to Eye, as well as the other songs, Stand Out, are just spectacular songs. Did you know that Tevin Campbell worked with Quincy Jones? That was one of the first things he did when he got signed.
Quincy Jones.
Pretty cool. Well, the Powerline character, the one that, you know, sings Eye to Eye, he's kind of like a Michael Jackson type figure for the movie, right?
Right. Yeah, he is.
Is that portrayed by Tevin in voice as well as singing?
I don't think he has any speaking lines in the movie. I think he only sings.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
full disclosure, I am not familiar with the Goofy Movie.
Okay, so the plot of the movie is, you know, Goofy wants to bond with his teenage son Max and wants to take him out on a road trip to go fishing, but Max finds out that his favorite artist Powerline is playing a concert somewhere else, and so comedy ensues as Goofy wants to go one way and Max wants to go the other way. Fantastic song. The other thing that's interesting, I thought you guys would like, is Rosie Gaines, who does backup vocals on this song. She was part of a band called the New Power Generation. Do you guys know what band that is?
Oh, that's Prince.
That's Prince's band. You got it.
What the hell? Wow. He's got Prince and MJ connections because Quincy Jones made goddamn Thriller, dude.
Dude, yep. So, wow. Eye to Eye, obviously a fantastic song because they have all this talent on there. And it's just one of, I think, the standout songs of the 90s.
Wow.
Absolutely. If you're not familiar with Goof Movie, this is a song at the big climax where Max, Goofy's son, and Goofy join Powerline on stage. He's a high school kid trying to fit in. He tells his crush that he's going to the big Powerline concert that's on pay-per-view in Hollywood, and that he's going to join Powerline on stage because his dad knows Powerline. Spoiler, that's not true. Goofy does not know Powerline. But it's great. Oh, man. Kevin Campbell sings the heck out of this one, and it's one of my all-time. It's why I own this picture disc.
I need to get my hands on that picture disc, man. So... This song, or this movie actually, was nominated for Best Music, not Grammys, not anything like that. It was the Annie Awards, which is the International Animated Film Association Awards. Mm. Nominated, didn't win, probably should have.
Mm. What was it up against? Do you know that?
That I do not know.
Mm.
95?
What 1995. Yeah, what great movies were in 95?
Balto?
Balto. I have a Balto connection for another song that you're going to like. Comes together.
Pocahontas is also 95.
Okay.
That's a big one. Goofy movie's not going to go up against Pocahontas, though, right?
You know, Nick, would you say Goofy movie is kind of like a cult movie as far as like Disney movies go?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we were talking about like theme parks earlier. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Rock and Roller Coaster, the attraction at Hollywood Studios. Currently, it has a soundtrack. It's a roller coaster. And
is it the Aerosmith one?
Yeah. The whole soundtrack is Aerosmith. It's incredible. Okay. You know, they're going to lose their contract with Aerosmith pretty soon. So they've been tossing around ideas for what to replace it with. Now, the rumor is that they want to replace it with Muppets Mayhem.
Oh.
But the fandom...
I like them Muppets.
The fandom has been crying out to make this a Powerline ride. So, if it's a cult, yes, it is absolutely a cult classic.
We were at Disney World earlier this year, and you know, one of the folks there said that they were losing the license with Aerosmith, and we got to thinking, like, what other like rock band could they be? Like, so I mean, that, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster opened what, like late '90s?
Yeah, late '90s.
So I mean, 20 plus years from when Aerosmith dropped their first album, I was just kind of like, Green Day? You know, like, I mean, can you imagine like the Green Day coaster?
Yeah, I could see that. So, but you know, Disney doesn't like to play outside of their own sandbox. That's why they keep putting things in their sandbox.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's part of the reason the Aerosmith thing is going away. And that's why they're looking at Muppets, which I think could be cool. I think anything, Powerline. So I was talking about this with my wife, and we came up with like a cool backstory and everything. Imagine this takes place after Goofy Movie, and Max has grown up, and now he's like, he works as like a PA or something for Powerline, right? And Powerline's making his big comeback tour, and that could be like the story for the ride. Make it relevant, make it new.
And Goofy's driving everyone to the concert. That's good. I like that.
That's fantastic, right? And have Tevin Campbell make a new song.
What if it's like the national ride, and it's just more like, oh, I enjoy tea and I want to be quiet for a minute with my books.
It's a very mellow roller coaster.
And it just like kind of spirals around slowly.
Slow it down. I would like that.
No good?
I can do that.
Kitty coaster.
Hey, I thought we were just coming up with ideas. So.
I like it.
So
I like it too.
There was an idea back, you know, a while ago to
there rethink. Was an idea.
There was an idea. Not the Avengers, but...
Oh, I've lost interest. 10%. But okay.
They were going to retheme Rock and Roller Coaster to Disney... what's that? Radio Disney. Radio Disney. Can you imagine like a Hannah Montana Jonas Brothers coaster? I know I personally love Jonas Brothers. I'm about to see them in like a few weeks. So
I will be there too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 5 albums, 1 night.
Man. Sidebar. Well, have you seen that set list? It's crazy.
It's like, of course, Disney would get rid of the Aerosmith coaster. Like, what age group are they aiming for? You know, like...
Right, that's...
Kids don't love Sweet Emotion or whatever. Like so, what? I don't know. Like, lock Taylor Swift down and then you've got a bazillion-dollar idea. You know, I don't know.
There you go, yeah.
Taylor Swift a coaster? I don't know.
The Fearless coaster? Oh, man.
That writes itself.
You're just bumping into ex-boyfriends like, oh, no!
So I guess the debate is, which is a better song, Eye to Eye or Stand Out? What do you think?
Well, we tried to cover Stand Out one time.
We did. We attempted that. Never had a show, but we attempted
I thought it sounded good.
That's the sweetest thing.
Yeah, I think they're very different. You know, Stand Out, you have all the characters, you know, singing like, no more algebra tests till September, you know, like all the school.
Is that kids. The same song?
Stand Out. Yeah. Is it?
I feel like that's the song before Stand Out in the movie where like, you know, school's out and everyone's.
No more Maxi the Geek.
But then they, school's out, but then they have to go to like an assembly. It's where Max is like pretending to be Powerline, trying to impress that girl. She swoons.
And he goes, "Stay safe. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me, baby." It's this nerd trying to look cool. I think "Eye to Eye" is the superior song. That's tough.
I think "Eye to Eye" is great.
I saw. Did y'all see the guy, the actor from Holes? I wish I was just looking him up.
Shia LaBeouf.
Zero.
How's Shia doing?
Cleo Thomas, the actor that played Zero, he won a Mortal Kombat tournament while dressed up as Powerline.
I did see that on Instagram. Yes.
Oh, I think I saw something about that too. I didn't even get the reference, but I'm like, Jake would love this shit.
So it's just, you know, just, I mean, this movie's like what, 28 years old now, you know, and it's still popping up.
Do we love Goofy as a character? What is the archetype of the Goofy character?
The single dad making it work and fumbling everything, but still being awesome.
Oh, I'd say that's right. Okay, I should probably watch the Goofy movie.
I've always really loved the Goofy movie. So when you brought this one to talk about, I was really, really excited. It's funny, like as a kid, I was a big Mickey guy. I think, you know, still am, but as I've grown up, I really have come to really love Goofy. He was in one of my favorite shorts, is The Art of Skiing, I believe it's called. Yeah.
All those like how-to kind of shorts. Yeah.
They're these hilarious videos, and it's like, he gets up and puts on his ski pants, and it's like Goofy trying to ski. I love it. Actually, I have a button-up like bowling shirt with Goofy on it from Art of Skiing, and I'm waiting for the right time to drop it. But yeah.
That sounds like a Looney Tunes bit. That sounds like a Warner Brothers thing. Was there an era where they were trying to kind of like, we need some fall boys. We need some like, and we can, you know, but I,
yeah, like, they had Mickey Mouse, and you know, Mickey Mouse was kind of the straight man. They needed someone who could, you know, take a fall and, you know, laugh at and, you know, not have it not be Mickey, because Mickey ended up being the face of the company. So
he's like infallible. It's like watching Mickey Mouse fall down wouldn't be that funny somehow, because that's not the way the character is like portrayed.
Yeah, which is kind of weird that you say that, because then they just released these series of shorts relatively recently of Mickey Mouse shorts where Mickey is the zany one. And he does all this crazy stuff. And actually, the voice actor who plays Mickey, Brett Iwan, he told Disney, like, part of my job as being Mickey is defending the integrity of the character, and I don't feel like this is a good move for Mickey. So they said, okay, and they got someone else to be Mickey for those shorts.
Sure.
And they did it anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Mickey's been in trouble with like dancing brooms and stuff before, but like, doesn't he always kind of figure it out? Like, he's just like,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Are those the ones with that new animation style?
Very like Ren and Stimpy ish.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the Runaway Railroad. Runaway Railroad. I can't say it.
Yep. Chris Diamantopoulos is the voice of Mickey in those. He was in the Three Stooges remake, one of the Stooges.
My kid really likes Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
That's Brett Iwan. They kept the other guy around to do like the kid-friendly stuff.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So for the aged-up kids, we can have Mickey Mouse fall down or whatever. Or shit his pants. All right, great. Cool.
Oh, my gosh. You know who Chris Diamantopoulos is from? He is the camera guy that falls in love with Pam in The Office.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the guy. That's the guy from Silicon Valley with the three apostrophes or commas.
Yes, commas. Yeah.
Because I have $3 billion or whatever the hell it is. That's a good actor. But I don't see him playing Mickey. That's kind of odd.
Yeah, he's Mickey. Look up on YouTube some videos of him doing the voice. It's crazy.
What's it sound like? Is it weird?
I mean, it sounds like Mickey, but like a really like anxious Mickey. Like,
okay.
Like kind of like neurotic kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah.
When was Fantasia, Nick? Like, is that like 70? No.
That's way earlier than that. Let's Google that.
Way earlier than 79?
I'm going to say 45.
It's not 45.
1940.
Oh, no, it is not 1940. 40.
1940 Fantasia.
Fantasia is 1940?
They re-released it called Fantasia 2000. Maybe that's what you're thinking of. That was like the re-edited. Yeah. Fantasia, whoa, the original, 1940.
Holy shit, the talent. But I don't think Mickey spoke in that one, did he? He's only in one sequence.
He's the Sorcerer's Apprentice sequence.
Yeah, Sorcerer's Apprentice. Yeah.
Yeah. And by Sorcerer's Apprentice, I don't mean the Nicolas Cage movie.
All right, so continuing on with the Disney Renaissance, you've got, you know, firing on cylinders, kicked off with Little Mermaid, and it's just like a best of. But you've got your Aladdin, you've got Beauty and the Beast nominated for Best Picture, first and only time.
That was a big deal. I think they reworked their whole plan.
Oh yeah, and then you're Lion King, so in 1997, another movie comes out. Another personal favorite. I just watched this like a couple weeks ago, and Nick hadn't even told us the song that he picked, but I'm very excited. Nick, take us to 97. What was your next movie? Next
1997. Song. Alan Menken wrote, he's been writing Disney movies for, this whole decade, basically. And he comes out with Hercules, and the banger that is Go the Distance, performed by Roger Bart. And Alan Menken wrote the lyrics, music written by David Zippel, who also wrote the music for Mulan. So,
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know a lot about Roger Bart, the voice of Hercules, but he's gone on to do some fantastic things since Hercules. We'll talk more about Hercules in a minute. But let me just say, there's a connection to one of my favorite, or my number one favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future. He plays Emmett Brown in the Broadway production of Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah,
it's pretty awesome. And then they were going to make a Hercules musical in 2019, and he ended up being cast as Hades. And that musical performed a little bit, but never really got picked up.
But I heard about this. There was like a little inside, like over Switzerland, or switched the roles with these guys.
Yeah, so that would have been cool. I would have watched that. But
I'm going to send you back to the future. How do you sing in that voice if you're doing Doc Brown?
You can go, you've got to. That's terrible.
That was not bad.
Thank you.
Tell me ZZ Top shows up.
I would love that.
Right?
Spin their guitar in Western wear. Yeah.
Back to yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the song I picked is Go the Distance. And this was a personal favorite of mine since forever. I grew up loving this song. So the song is, the I Want song of Hercules. It's where Hercules is, trying to find out where he belongs. That's a line in the song. And I grew up as a really, really shy kid. And so this song resonated with me, this idea of I'm going to find a place where I belong, where people, want to be around me, and I'm comfortable with that. And that's kind of the theme of this song. And it's the turning point of the whole movie. That's the point where, he meets Zeus and gets sent on his quest to go become Hercules. And it's just a beautiful, amazing, amazing song.
It is really impressive how, all these songs, fit the narrative in a special way. Because, a lot of these movies start with the men working song. Like, hi-ho, hi-ho. Yep. Or, even to Frozen, we are guys that gather ice, and then I don't think I did that one right, but that's a trope in all these movies. And then there's a secluded person, I wish I was out there, or I wish I was doing this. And then there's the love song, and then maybe the I Did It song. Am I missing something, Nick?
No, I think you pretty much nailed. That's how they when Alan Menken came along kind of write this music for Disney, he would come off of writing Little Shop of Horrors.
So, right, 82.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Exactly. And so him and Howard Ashman, his writing partner, they had this idea that the Disney movie should be written like a musical. So the songs are going to push the narrative along. And so, you know, Howard Ashman, Alan Menken, you know, the dream team, they wrote Little Mermaid, and it was a huge hit. And then every, you know, subsequent movie after that was following that pattern of having, you know, the intro song, like you said, and the I Want song, the villain song.
And yeah, the villain song. Yeah, that's what I missed. Yeah.
Would it be a leap to say that much of the, because so much of the Disney Renaissance is, I mean, aside from like this like gorgeous new animation style where they started incorporating like, you know, computer effects and everything, but so much of it, so much of what people remember, I feel, is the music. Do you think how Menken is the guy? You think he's the one that
sparked that? Yeah, I mean, back in the day, like before, when Walt was still around, Walt's writing team was the Sherman Brothers, right? Richard and Robert Sherman, and they had songs. Yeah, and so once he started moving on to like these newer things, and Robert Sherman passed away, and you know Richard Sherman. He's still around, but you know he's really old, and so they got. I don't know how else to put that. They got
Jason Schwartzman and right or
Saving
Mr. Banks.
So they always had this like writing team that would kind of really pull these movies along. You mentioned Mary Poppins earlier. You know the Sherman Brothers wrote Mary Poppins, and they wrote all these Disney Park songs, Small World, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow from Carousel of Progress. Wow. So, yeah, they were the guys. Well, once Disney ended up getting Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, they were the guys. Wow. Howard Ashman died not too long later after working on Beauty and the Beast. He died before Beauty and the Beast premiered.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he never got to see Beauty and the Beast. But Alan Menken kept going, and he had different writing people that would write with him. But it was never that like lightning in a bottle that was him and Howard Ashman.
Wow.
And Menken was like, he was like infusing Broadway stuff into this, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was their whole idea. That was the way that they started the Disney Renaissance was, let's make these animated features Broadway musicals for kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was 1997. Hercules was 1997. So after Howard Ashman, so it was Alan Menken and David Zippel. This whole film had some great, great songs in it. They had the muses singing. Oh, yeah. They originally wanted to get Destiny's Child to do that part. I guess too expensive or too busy.
I heard it was Spice Girls.
It was one of those. I don't know. It was one of those. Guys.
Different movie, for sure.
Are there three or five of them?
I think there's five of them. Wait, Spice how many Girls. Spice Girls? Are, all right, how many Destiny's Children are there?
Three. I think at one point four.
We don't talk about that fourth one. We don't talk about that fourth one.
See, now I'm...
Wow. That would have been a different movie, because it would have just been like, that's what you would have, you know, remember, like, hearing the Spice Girls or Destiny's Child, you know? It would have been cool, but I think it... I don't know. I love the muses. Whoever ended up singing, they were wonderful.
Yeah, they were great. So this song, Go the Distance, was nominated for an Academy Award and a Golden Globe for Best Original Song. And it lost out to a song. I actually do know which one it lost out to this time. One of the biggest songs of ever, but 1997. Celine Dion.
Was it Titanic?
It was Titanic.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you can't beat that song. Yeah.
We talked about... are you familiar with Elliot Smith, Nick?
Elliot Smith.
He did the music for, like, Good Will Hunting. He was, like, a legendary indie rock, kind of, like, acoustic artist. He was up that year also.
We've talked about 97 a lot because it was a huge boom for electronica music. And like, so it's that's a busy year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. This song was covered. Do you guys know who covered Go the Distance?
Is it Michael Bolton?
It was Michael Bolton. Michael Bolton was personally chosen by Alan Menken. That was his choice to do the cover of that song.
Okay.
And of course, then there was a Spanish cover of the song. Do you know who covered that? Who did the Spanish cover?
Ricky Martin.
It was Ricky Martin.
Jake.
He's on
Ben 1000.
It's his show. He should know this stuff.
Oh, no.
It's your guys' show. So 1997. Sorry,
what is this?
right. Elliot, did you know that it was Michael Bolton and
no, I didn't know that. No, I haven't seen Hercules.
You're a noted Michael Bolton head. Like, you know.
I am a bold head, yeah.
And not Office, not the character from Office Space.
No, I'm a fan of that guy, not the singer songwriter. Yeah. you can just call me Mike.
There we go. Yeah, that's 1997 in a nutshell for you, man. Michael Bolton, Ricky Martin, Alan Mayer.
Yeah, for sure.
So Hercules, you know, one of the things I found really interesting is, you know, so a lot of those, like, you know, 89 to, shoot, maybe even 96, they're like full-blown, like, voice actors, I feel. I could be wrong. But Hercules, you got some star power in there. You have Rip Torn playing, voicing Zeus, you know, James Wood as Hades, and one of my faves, Danny DeVito as
Phil,
his trainer.
Philip Tides.
Phil, thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Is this one of the first times that Disney put, like, famous actors in their movies to voice?
Like, as, like, voice actors or, like, to sing songs? Because we had, like, Oliver and Company, where we had Billy Joel.
That's right. Bette Midler, right, was another one.
Well, Robin Williams.
I
would
say,
right?
I was about to say, that was before.
Oh, that's true. Oh, James Earl Jones, too. You know what?
And Matthew Broderick and...
That's
right. Nathan Lane.
Jim... Jim Roth.
Well, how about that as a question? Like, when did they start doing, like, celeb voice actors?
That's an awesome question.
Because Aladdin's 92, right? Oh.
Yeah. It had Robin Williams. It also had the guy from... that sitcom. Oh my goodness. Aladdin, the voice of Aladdin was a guy from that sitcom.
Oh. Full House.
Full House, thank you. I don't remember.
He's like the boyfriend in Full House, what? Or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like,
I remember that.
In the Disney World episode, like, what, he is like Aladdin, like a parade or something.
Mm.
Remember that? That was crazy.
I never knew that.
Yeah, man. You recognize the guy?
Yes.
The more you know.
Yeah. Oh, and Gilbert Gottfried was Iago in that one.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of celebrities. That's the 90s. Yeah. That's 90s Disney, man.
That's something. I guess it was just maybe the 90s as a whole. They started sprinkling them in there. Because now I feel you have, like, you know, Justin Timberlake voicing trolls. You know, it's just, it's nothing but, you know, big Hollywood actors.
Trolls is a Disney, though, right? That's like some DreamWorks bullshit, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Right. Yeah, not Disney. Not Disney.
Some DreamWorks bullshit. Episode title.
You guys curse on this show? Are we allowed to curse on this show? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, Jake politely does not, but I do. Is that all right?
I don't care. I don't know if Mickey will care.
Well, it is Jake's show, apparently, so we'll have to ask Jake.
Jake. Featuring Elliot, guest star.
Oh, no. Yeah. My guest again is Elliot.
No. The reoccurring guest.
Ruida.
That's Nick. Your episode title. Jake plus two guests.
Yeah. The Jake Show.
I'm not for that. I'm none of this. I'm staying out of it.
And you said you went to Disney World recently, Jake. And if you watch the fireworks show, this song is one of the songs that plays in the medley during the show. And it's fantastic.
What is the show called? Like Excursions or...
The fireworks show?
Yeah.
Happily Ever After?
Happily Ever After. Excursions. What's... I was not even close.
It's a travel agent pitch on the castle.
It's like, we've unlocked the doors. You can leave now. I'm like, oh, cool. Fireworks as you leave. You know.
What was it before Happily Ever After?
It was Wishes. Wishes was before Happily Ever After.
It was Wishes. Okay. I knew there was a one word title.
Excursions. That's the new Epcot show. It ties into going around the world. Disney, if you're listening, proceeds go to Sipping Mimos podcast. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So after 97, after, you know, game-changing electronica albums and, you know, Oscar-nominated Disney songs are being dropped. That next year, 98, not on our list, but another one came out. You got Bug's Life, one of my personal favorites. Also played that in the schoolyard. And then 99, something happens. It's the last year of the decade. And Disney decides to go back in a lot of ways and remake a classic. Nick, what's your third song on this playlist?
1999, Phil Collins did the soundtrack for Tarzan. And the world was not the same since then. It's one of the best Disney soundtracks ever. And, you know, we were talking a lot about Alan Menken and all this stuff, and he really made the Disney Renaissance what it was. But the way to end the Renaissance in 99 with Phil Collins, incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Several songs in this movie. The song I picked is You'll Be in My Heart, which is referred to as the lullaby of the movie.
Oh.
Mm.
And it happens kind of early on in the movie where Tarzan is found by the apes, and the mother ape sings this song to Tarzan. But the version that I picked as my favorite song, probably my favorite song of the 90s Disney anyways, is the one by Phil Collins. Because there's the movie version, and then I think Glenn Close is the voice in the movie, and she sings it part of it too. And so then there's the version, you know, from the soundtrack, from the credits, one that everyone knows. It became a radio single, and it was it won best original song of the Academy Award. Like, it's just a banger of a song, and it actually beat out that year When She Loved Me from Toy Story 2.
Oh,
Sarah McLachlan. Yeah, but anyway, so this soundtrack was a big comeback for Phil Collins. I was doing some research, and I found something I didn't know. He actually left Genesis in 1996, and part of that reason was so that he could work on Tarzan.
Huh.
Yeah.
I thought it was Gabriel. Peter Gabriel was a dickhead or whatever.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's part of it, too. Maybe he just tells people it was Tarzan.
He's like, I got Peter Gabriel in one hand, I got Tarzan in the other. I'm like,
what should I tell the public?
Who's got the better abs? I'm going Tarzan.
When Disney was trying to find, you know, who would write the music for this, you know, animated adaptation of Tarzan, they looked to Phil because of his drumming experience. They were thinking big jungle beats.
Of course they would. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it was. So they got Phil Collins, and then they were thinking, well, we don't want Tarzan to sing, right? We think, you know, having a shirtless guy swinging around and then singing while swinging is just kind of weird. So they got Phil Collins to kind of do like a narrator kind of role. And that's what's different about this. We were talking earlier about how the other Disney movies, the songs were sung by the characters and it was moving the story along. This is kind of the inner thoughts of the characters being sung by Phil Collins. And if my inner thoughts can be sung by anybody, I would pick Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Diegetic, they call it.
There you go.
Yeah, when the songs are telling the story, but the characters can't hear it necessarily.
Yeah, they got the idea to do this specifically for this movie because of how successful Toy Story was with Randy Newman and the way that those songs worked in that movie.
Diegetic.
Right, exactly. That's the word of the day. I like that.
Interesting.
So they did it that way for this movie, and it obviously worked. And so Phil wrote You'll Be in My Heart. He actually wrote it for his daughter, Lily. Lily Collins, you may know from that show on Netflix, Emily in Paris.
Oh, Emily in Paris, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So he wrote this song as a lullaby for his daughter, and of course it became one of the biggest songs of the movie. Other songs in the movie, you have like Strangers Like Me and Son of Man. All fantastic songs.
Y'all kind of open my, you know, my eyes to that, especially for Tarzan, because it's like, you know, there's parts where they'll be talking, and then the next part, you know, they're like walking through the forest, and then Phil Collins is singing. It's like he's like letting you know what's going on, what the characters are thinking. That's really cool. And then I didn't even pick up, I've seen Toy Story 30 times, but Randy Newman's doing the exact same thing. My mind is shattered.
Yeah.
I love it.
Once there were some toys, and they were friends, and now they're not. They better figure it out by the end of the movie.
Perfect.
That was good.
That was good. That was real good.
I think that was Tom Waits. I don't know.
I watched Tarzan in preparation for this one, and man, that movie's sad.
Yeah. Sad.
You know, a lot of people talk about Up, you know, being like devastating.
Oh my God.
It absolutely is. But man, I forgot how sad Tarzan opens.
Well, every Disney movie has to have like a, you know, impactful. It's the hero's journey, you know. You got to have something traumatic to happen to set your character off on that journey.
Right.
So a lot of parents die. Yeah, it's Batman. Bambi is Batman. You know, like, yeah, come on, it's the same thing, you know.
Supposedly,
Thumper is Robin. It's right there in front of you. Just put it together, guys.
I want to see that.
I can't do this all for you, listeners.
Supposedly, you know, and this is strictly, you know, hearsay. One of the reasons that so many like parents die in Disney movies is because Walt felt guilty because his parents died in a house that he bought for them. And it was because there was some sort of gas leak and he felt guilty that, you know, he bought the house for them, something like that. That's what people say.
Oh, geez.
I just brought this down real bad.
Oh, you changed the mood, man.
We're having the real conversations tonight.
Well, I could bring it back up. Earlier.
Oh, no, well, let's sit in this for a minute. Okay, I'm done. All right.
So earlier, I don't know if this will get cut or not, but earlier we mentioned Balto, and I promised a Balto connection coming up. Here's my Balto connection. Phil Collins, his first voiceover role, he played Luck and Muck in Balto in 1995. There we go. Balto.
And Phil Collins is kind of like has an adjacent connection to another song we're going to talk about in a second, which I'm really, really excited for.
Really?
I think I'm going to blow some minds tonight.
I'm ready.
I always really liked Tarzan. It's like it's amazing. It's amazing looking. I mean, you can't beat that soundtrack. I mean, you can't really beat anything Phil Collins does. It's just stunning, really
spectacular. We were talking about all these covers from like other artists doing other like Disney covers. This one didn't need that. We had Phil Collins the whole time. Didn't need a cover.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah, except there was one song in the movie, "Trashin' the Camp," which there was a cover on the soundtrack because the whole song is very like shooby dooby doo bop, right? Scat. And do you know who did the cover? Do you remember this?
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. I'm going to say Lou Bega.
Not Lou Bega.
Okay, it's not Lou Bega.
I want to verify this.
One, but... two, three, Tarzan. He's going to swing on a bridge.
All right, so...
All right, the dome, guys. It's pretty good. All right.
Think 1999. Think 1999. Who would Phil Collins team up with to do like an all vocal version of "Trash in the Camp"?
Tom York.
NSYNC.
NSYNC. It was NSYNC. That's what it was.
Did you say Tom York from Radiohead?
Yeah. Just
the guys. From Radiohead.
I would love to be on this Tarzan soundtrack. I think it'll be lovely.
It's my favorite vocalist. I'm not trying to make fun of him.
I think one of my favorite things about being on this show is the impressions.
And all the visual bits, yeah.
Elliot keeps it going with the impressions. All my impressions always end up sounding like the same British guy. Even my Tony Soprano. You know, I still end up sounding like...
It's all Paul McCartney.
Yeah, it's all Paul McCartney. All goes back to a very Liverpoolian accent.
Oh, I'm Tony Soprano. I was in the Beatles.
Oh, even your Paul McCartney is Tony Soprano is better than mine.
I live in New Jersey.
Damn it. the memory I have of Tarzan is this is one of the first times I remember because 1999 the Disney Channel was fire. It was just like. The content was unreal, and they were running like what would normally be like DVD extras on the Disney Channel. It felt like, you know, and there was a lot of stuff on Tarzan, and I think that's where I remember seeing that NSYNC thing.
I think you're talking about that show Movie Surfers.
Movie Surfers?
Movie Surfers. It was on Disney Channel. It was like in between shows, like a commercial like length show, and they would dive into movies. That's where I learned that they modeled Tarzan going down the trees after Tony Hawk.
He just slides down them. He doesn't really like rappel down. He slides.
Yeah, he slid down. Got a lot of splinters, I'm sure.
Dude, you just opened up like a crazy memory. I forgot about Movie Surfers.
Movie Surfers, man.
I don't know what Movie Surfers is. I'm a little bit older than you guys, but what? So, what is it?
So, Elliot, go on YouTube and look up Movie Surfers Tarzan. And it was just a little short show. It was like DVD extras, like Jake said. And they would just talk about like movies, behind the scenes stuff. It was very cool.
Wow. Am I who I am because of pop-up video and Movie Surfers? I didn't think it was going to be such an existential episode tonight. Phil Collins would go on to do the music for another movie, though, right? Right, Nick?
Another Disney movie?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this.
Did he do the music for Brother Bear?
Dude, you're right. Yes, he did do Brother Bear.
Whoa. Nick, you caught.
I've never actually seen Brother Bear. My wife told me that. And I said, what? No way.
There's that song. Oh, my gosh. Where they're like traveling. It's a traveling song. Oh, gosh. That's a great song. I forgot about that.
Wow.
I got to go back and watch Brother Bear.
I've heard it's devastating. I've never seen it.
Oh,
it's part of the downhill after Disney Renaissance.
Oh,
wasn't one of the good ones.
So after 99, you know, Amazing Year Tarzan came out. Europop by Eiffel 65 also dropped that year.
I'm Blue.
That was our last episode.
just so we're all clear on where we are in the timeline. Yeah.
Cultural touchstones: Europop, Tarzan.
Yeah.
So what happens? What happens after this? I know Eisner leaves the company at some point.
Yeah. So the movies don't really start picking up again. I mean, I guess it's debatable when they really start picking up. You have movies like Treasure Planet, and
Atlantis
with Michael J. Fox. Yeah.
They've been like reacquired by I think a cult audience, right?
Yeah, those movies definitely have.
Like, they didn't perform too well, but like people like those movies a lot.
They stopped using music in the same way for a while.
Uh huh. Yeah. So they moved away from the musical thing.
Right, and so then you had some great movies here and there, but I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like the Disney movie musical didn't really come back until like Princess and the Frog, Rapunzel, like these movies where we had the return of Alan Menken. Alan Menken Strikes Back. He did Tangled.
Really?
When was Tangled?
I'm going to take a shot. 2012.
2010. You were close.
Oh!
Well, in 2000, we had Emperor's New Groove. I really enjoyed that one a great deal.
That was a great movie. Not really a musical.
Not at all.
That's another blind spot for me.
So they're like, what if we just did full-on comedies? Oh, Jake, you should check out Emperor's New Groove, man. It's so funny. It.
Dude, David Spade is so good.
It's really good.
Yeah. David Spade. Yeah.
Spectacular. John Goodman. It's insane. It's insanely good.
The full blown Frozen song.
Oh, you know?
Phenomenon. Can we use
Phenomenon?
That?
Yeah. Yes. Phenomenon.
Oh, okay. So, Nick, how do you feel about like the modern era of like, I guess, like the aughts and the tens of what Disney is now? The original IP, like Frozen and the Pixar stuff. Which I think is kind of like, if you ask me, has kind of dropped down a bit.
Right.
I don't know what's going on over there. And then there's the remakes of everything. So how do you feel about all this?
Right. Okay. So, the animated side of it, we had like Tangled, Mandy Moore and Tangled, Zachary Levi.
Mandy Moore?
Yeah. Bringing back some 90s stuff there. I love Zachary Levi also. Shazam.
He lives in Texas.
Yeah. Austin, right? I met him at a Comic-Con in Austin. He's a nice guy.
I feel he'd be cool. Very tall.
Yeah, he's huge.
How tall is he?
He's really way taller than me. I mean, I'm short, but he's tall. Oh. He's a big guy.
Wow.
I mean, he's a superhero. He's Shazam.
He's Shazam.
But so as far as like those animated features, Princess and the Frog and those movies, they went back to basics. They put more music back in it. And I think that's awesome. But I, you know, the question of the live action remakes, I think they're hit and miss. And a lot of them don't seem necessary. Like going back to 90s stuff, Lion King remake wasn't needed.
We've already got one, don't we?
We got one.
Beauty
and the Beast remake, you know, Emma Watson can't sing. Sorry.
Oops.
She sounds like T-Pain.
We'll cut that. She's our guest next week to talk about Spice Girls.
You have two guests again next week, Jake?
Yeah, we're having Emma. That's
terrible.
I'm not going to hear the end of this.
I'm so mad. Yeah, Jake's a busy guy. That was very good. Technically six guests if you count me and the Spice Girls.
There we go.
So, you know,
where were we?
We're definitely, you know,
I've lost track.
Talking about, all right, live action Disney remakes.
Your thoughts on these? Yeah,
we already got it. Why do we need it again?
And they're all perfect films. You know, I mean,
Untouchables.
Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. Like, they're all perfect.
Did you watch The Little Mermaid?
The new one? No, I haven't. I'm waiting for it to be on streaming because we missed it in theaters.
Oh, it's on Disney. If you get that one.
Is it already?
I like to say Disney because the little plus looks like a T.
Disney. I like it.
All I do is watch Disney with the kid. Disney Plus with the kid, and she's really curious about the Little Mermaid one. But it looks scary as shit, and she's two. So, and then like let's watch the OG one. So I pop on the 89 Little Mermaid. I'm like, this is scary as shit, man. Like, this movie's kind of wild.
My brother took my niece. She's three. That was her first movie, Little Mermaid, in theaters. The remake, and they had
the remake.
The remake had to take her out during the Ursula scenes. It was too scary.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I would have included a song from Little Mermaid in this, but that movie came out in 1989. Didn't
89?
Ellie and I learned that at the same time while texting each other.
Yeah. We can you know, this is loosey goosey, man. Because like, now should we get to our honorable mentions of Disney tunes?
That's actually a perfect segue. So, you know, it's no secret here at Sip and Mimo Studios that we love the 90s, you know. But
we do.
This is a studio that's been around for almost 100 years, Nick.
100th anniversary right now, man. Disney 100 is going on right now.
A cool 100. Was that Oswald or Steamboat dropped in 1923?
Disney 100, since the company was founded when Walt Disney came and actually started making the Alice cartoons in 1923.
Wow.
So
this is the guy. This is why we have you on as our first guest. So we have
appreciate you, Nick.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we have 100 years of song to discuss, and we can do a couple episodes on the 90s. We wanted to talk about some decades. So Nick picked two of his faves. Looks like we got one from the 50s and one from the 70s. Nick, I'll let you pick.
Well, let's start with 1973 Robin Hood. We already mentioned that earlier.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
Incredible film. Music written by Roger Miller. You know, obviously famous for not just being in Robin Hood, but just on his own for his own stuff. In the film, Roger Miller plays Alan Adale, which is one of the merry men and the minstrel of the group. So he kind of acts as, you know, like Phil Collins did in Tarzan. He kind of leads the audience along with the story.
Is the rooster?
The rooster, yeah.
Yeah. Cock-a-doodle, how did you? Yeah. Unbelievable. There's like scratches on it. There's like, you can see like pen ink spotting on the pages. It's beautiful.
There's a lot of interesting things with the making of that movie, and part of the reason it looks like that is they were like literally Xeroxing. They were copying cells and certain things. So there's some, like, if you go on YouTube and look up like Disney reused animation, you can see like side by sides of different movies but use the exact same animation. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this movie was originally conceived by Walt. He wanted to make a movie about Reynard the Fox, which is another old character in literature, where he's a he's an anthropomorphic fox, and he makes mischief. But it was another animator named Ken Anderson who decided, well, why don't we combine that with the story of Robin Hood and make Robin Hood an anthropomorphic mischievous fox? And so Robin Hood was born. One thing I love about this movie is the fact that it's set in England. The movie is like, the soundtrack is folk music.
Yeah.
But somehow it works.
Yeah.
I think it's because the music is that good, man. Like it sets this like relaxing tone from the beginning with Whistle Stop. And the whole movie, you're relaxed. You're just into it. And it doesn't matter that it takes place in England and you're hearing Roger Miller. Like, it just works.
I really wanted to hear a Johnny Cash cover of like the whole thing.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Robin Hood and Little John running through the forest. Like, are you out of your mind? That'd be amazing.
The opening with Udalali.
Yeah.
With all the characters. Oh, that's one of my favorite things ever. I just love it.
The lyrics, you really kind of, they drop you right into the action. Robin Hood, Little John running through the forest, right?
That's right.
And it sets it off right away.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all just running through the forest?
The forest of life.
Yeah.
Other notable things about this Whistle Stop, in the advent of the internet, became Hamster Dance. You guys remember this?
I remember Hamster Dance.
Good stuff.
What? Yeah, what is happening?
That is Whistle Stop.
What?
Incredible.
Yeah, it is. I'm just glad I'm old enough to recognize a reference that you guys have been throwing out.
Are you gonna play Hamster Dance now?
I'm gonna like listen to it in my ear because my mind.
No, we'll get flagged for Hamster Dance, not the Disney stuff. Yeah,
I see.
The Hamster Dance people are fucking crazy, man. They'll come after us.
Those they're actual hamsters.
Oh my god, it totally is.
It's Whistle Stop.
My talk about the Hamster Dance. My wife will tell you a story where we'd already been together maybe about 6 months. Every time we'd get in the car, I would play the Hamster Dance song. Like we'd be like going on a date and then she'd get in the car and she's like, Hamster Dance again. I'm like, you know it. So
I feel like you can square dance to that. Like a country bar.
This is before you were married. You're like dropping Hamster Dance.
Yeah,
like, Hamster Dance.
I was like, hey, check this out. And she's like, the Hamster Dance. Okay. And then she married me. So you know it's real. Months of the Hamster Dance.
I think I'm trying to act too cool these days, man. I don't know. I'm doing something wrong. I'm not wiped up. Oh, Hamster Dance, though. Good note.
A reoccurring thing in all these songs is the covers, right? There's always every great Disney song is a great Disney cover,
right?
And So one of the Roger Miller tracks from this movie, Not in Nottingham, was covered by Mumford and Sons, and it's spectacular.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I love that. Okay, yeah,
very good.
Yeah,
Roger Miller just had that voice. He was also famous for his song King of the Road. King of the road, I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road, like this very like mellow, just like super easy to listen to, almost like a country crooner in a lot of ways. But I love his voice on the song. It's unreal.
Oh yeah, spectacular.
This is not your Robin Hood, but mine. I really Disneyed up this time.
And this is also, aside from like Richard Lewis's Prince, remember he was in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Love that movie.
The one that goes, your mole is moving. And he goes, I have a mole? You know what I'm talking about? I think it's yeah. Richard Lewis.
It's Richard Lewis is the king.
Hey, Blinken. Did you say Blinken?
Our sheriff?
Yeah. Abe Lincoln and Dave Chappelle in that movie too. This is my favorite, besides Richard Lewis and Robin Hood Men in Tights, my favorite Prince John. He's just such a baby. He's just always like, is the snake? It's Hiss, right?
Hiss, Sir Hiss.
Hiss is also in Jungle Book, right? The same It's like it kind of looks like the snake from the Jungle Book.
Again, reused animation. We have the same bear, you know, Little John and Baloo, same bear, both voiced by Phil Harris. So literally, basically the same character.
Huh. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Loves Jungle Book too. As a kid. Oh my God.
Then we can make a 90s connection to Tailspin.
Love Tailspin. Wow. That was like the Avengers Endgame of the early 90s.
Yeah. Crossover event of the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, from what I understand, they wanted to get Phil Harris to reprise his role as Baloo in that, but he was too old, and his voice just wasn't right.
Mm. How do you feel about like the 90s animation scene in Disney, like your DuckTales, your Darkwing Duck, and all that?
Gosh, Disney Afternoons. That was my childhood. So
yeah, I love Darkwing Duck so much.
Let's get dangerous.
Yeah. So go good. Darkwing Duck. How about that for a song? That's pretty good.
There you go. Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale.
I love the Andy Samberg. Was it Andy Samberg?
Yeah, it was Rescue Andy Samberg. Yeah, that movie was actually really funny.
It was. John Mulaney?
Is it? John Mulaney. Yeah. I had such low expectations for that movie, and it blew my mind.
It was really good.
It was awesome.
I haven't seen it. Oh my God. Okay. All right. Well, I will now.
Watch it on the Disney.
Yeah.
Top 90s are done. I have one more song from 1953 that I think is worth talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go.
This is a big one.
Yeah. So 1953, Peter Pan. That's my favorite Disney movie of all time. I grew up with that movie. And the song I'm talking about is Second Star to the Right, which is The Directions to Neverland. This song was written by Sammy Kahn. Do you guys know who Sammy Kahn is? You know his music, because he wrote so many hits from the Great American Songbook. He's a lyricist. He wrote Ain't That a Kick in the Head, Dean Martin. He wrote Come Fly With Me, Sinatra. He wrote Love and Marriage, Sinatra. Right, he wrote Call Me Irresponsible, High Hopes, Time After Time, and one of the best Christmas songs of all time, Let It Snow.
This is like a lounge guy.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you listen to Second Star to the Right, it has that vibe, you know?
This one opens the movie, right?
It does, yeah, it does. And this song was actually originally written for Alice in Wonderland. They cut the song from Alice in Wonderland. It was originally going to be called Beyond the Laughing Sky. And so they changed the lyrics, but they kept the music and melody and put it in Peter Pan. He wrote a handful of the other songs in this movie, Your Mother and Mine, and The Elegant Captain Hook. And that song has some background vocals that I think are incredible because they were by The Mellow Men. The Mellow Men was Thurl Ravenscroft's band, his vocal group. Thurl Ravenscroft, he is the voice of Tony the Tiger.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. And yeah, and he sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. So he does background vocals on Peter Pan. What is that? That's crazy.
Meaning he narrated the whole Grinch movie? Is it the same narrator and singer?
Yeah, that guy with the real deep voice.
Wow.
You're Tony a mean Tug. One. They're great.
That was good.
That was awesome. I love the impressions on this show.
Nick, any other like deep cuts in the 90s or even before that like people have forgotten about?
All right, so you know, I did research for this show. I did my homework to come on this show. So not only are these some of my favorite songs, but I really did research and look up some stuff. But I did have some honorable mentions that I didn't actually do a lot of research on, so I can kind of talk off the cuff on these.
Please do.
Out There from Hunchback of Notre Dame, spectacular song. Another Alan Menken song, and
I was all over the place.
This song just has another big connection to me because it's another one of those songs about wanting to break out, and you know, the shy guy.
Yeah, it's an awesome like first act tune. Have you seen this like being appropriated by TikTok and melded perfectly with the score from How to Train Your Dragon?
I've not seen this.
Oh boy. It's pretty astonishing. Like I don't know if they're in the same key or something, but I really do enjoy the Hunchback out there tune. It's also kind of like a, you know, gay anthem. And like, I'm not comfortable here. Like, I wish to be out with this with people. And all that. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, great song. Fantastic movie. Really underrated movie. Super dark, dark movie.
One of the darker ones in the 90s for sure. Well, I mean, I guess of any decade.
The other honorable mention I wanted to say was Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. That's the best villain song in any Disney movie. I stand by that.
Oh, but like, exact opposite about there. It's like
he drinks 12 dozen eggs or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
To make him large.
But it's the ego boost song.
Yeah. What's brilliant is like you're like this guy's gross. Like kind of immediately. Like, but like on first approach, you're like, oh, she's. If you didn't know anything about the movie, you're like, oh, she's probably gonna end up with this guy or whatever, or the cute librarian or something. Like, but then like this guy's like, I'm so pompous, I could suck my own dick, you know? and then like,
no one does it like Gaston.
Yeah. Episode title.
I love it.
Yeah. For sure. How about the in Beauty and the Beast? Like, I think there's something here that wasn't here before.
Oh, spectacular song. Yeah.
I think that one's pretty phenomenal. Yeah.
Are those Tim Rice? Did he write the lyric for that one?
Yeah, I believe he did. Well, remember, so Alan Menken and his partner, Howard Ashman, they started working on this movie. Yeah. And so Ashman died during production of this movie. I'm pretty sure he finished. But I think Tim Rice may have contributed also. I could be wrong on that.
That like truly breaks my heart because that movie was a smash.
Another great documentary on Disney Plus.
Plug away.
Yeah, watch the Howard Ashman documentary called Howard. Spectacular.
Oh man,
heartbreaking, but great.
How about modern stuff like post-aughts and all this? How are you with Pixar? How are you with the newer stuff?
I've always been a big Pixar fan. I feel like the newer stuff Disney and Pixar have both been putting out lately haven't really grabbed me, you know? Like, and not to mention, you know, I feel like they've been lacking in, like, the song department. There's none of these, like, great songs that you could do a podcast about on any of these. You know, besides, like, Frozen, obviously.
Well, you know, I might be missing
something, but nothing. Well, Frozen's
Disney proper, yeah. Like, they went musical with it.
A big, you know, talking about covers, Weezer doing Into the Woods from Frozen 2.
Oh,
spectacular.
Man.
Spectacular.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a big Weezer guy.
Casey Musgraves does an amazing cover of Into the Lost and Found.
Into the Unknown?
It's the lullaby that Elsa sings with her mom.
Oh, when yeah, yeah.
Into the sea. I that's an amazing. There's a lot, and then Panic at the Disco does Into the Unknown.
They do, yeah, they do. In 2015, there was a record that came out called We Love Disney, and it was just covers. Do you guys remember this? Did you hear this?
No. I remember this one.
It was spectacular. It had Fall Out Boy on it. They covered a song from the Jungle Book, I Want to Be Like You.
Fall Out Boy did I Want to Be Like You?
Yes, and it was just as good as you're imagining it.
Oh, wow. I can imagine a lot of things, though.
Which one did they do, What's This?
Oh, that was on the, an anniversary edition for,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas, yeah. That was great.
What's This?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Neo did Friend Like Me. You gotta check out this record.
I remember there was a lot of, like, around that time, there was, like, a lot of, I think, like, it was, like, We Like Being Groovy, and it was a bunch of, like, contemporary artists covering the Muppets.
Well, Gwen Stefani did Rainbow Connection on this soundtrack.
I love that.
Yeah. Rascal Flatts did Let It Go.
Oh, I remember, yeah, it's Tinkerbell on the cover.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I remember it's seeing fantastic. The vinyl.
They do a cover of It's a Small World where all, like, the vocalists get in on that one. And when Patrick from Fall Out Boy does his part, ugh. My heart melts every time.
I'm gathering you're kind of an old school guy, Nick, but do you like any of like the newer stuff like Moana and Raya and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I forgot about Moana. Yeah, Moana's great. We have The Rock, right? That's a great movie.
I think it's amazing.
They're going to remake that one. Dwayne Johnson already said it.
Ugh, why? Well, he said it, but, you know, are they? We'll see.
Well, I think Disney let him say it, so I think they
Fair enough.
Riot was good. There wasn't any music in that one, right?
No, there's a lot of music, but it's the score.
Score. Like no songs, I guess.
I haven't seen Raya.
You gotta watch Raya.
You gotta to bring it back around one. To tie the bow on the 90s. So the animated Peter Pan, I'm not entirely familiar with, was not. I grew up watching another Peter Pan movie. One I know, my guy Nick. I know you enjoyed it too, Elliot. Hook.
Oh wow.
Hook.
Oh. And do y'all know who made a cameo in Hook?
I know. Can I say it?
I know where it is. You want to do it at the same time?
All right, let's do it.
One, two. Glenn Close.
Phil Collins.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That's okay. Technically, both correct. But damn. Okay. Damn. They were both in Tarzan. Okay. Very. That was.
It was perfect. A Tarzan reunion.
That was beautiful.
This is the best episode I've ever done.
My mind just like I just like oh yeah, they're both in Tarzan, and they're both in Hook. Yeah. Yeah. Phil Collins plays like the inspector, like a police officer who comes after the kids are stolen by Dustin Hoffman's Hook.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he's blink and you miss for real.
The literary history of your family.
Yeah. Man, oh, good man. Pull.
Yeah.
Wow.
But man, what I echo what Ellie just said. I think this might be our finest 2 hours of content ever. This was a blast.
I had such a fun time. Thank both of you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh
on
my goodness
show.
Gracious! Thank you, amazing. Man.
You're such a you know knowledgeable guy, and you're so passionate about it. So I do hope you spark up your show again. But did you? What was it like going back? And did you learn anything new? Did you like
researching for this show?
Yeah,
I learned a lot. I was awesome. Able to. Really have a good time researching this, and it made me want to bring back my show. And
awesome, man.
If I decide to do it, you guys are both my guest stars.
So one of the things I was really blown away with in my research was how the guys in Eiffel 65, you know, mm-hmm. they used a vocoder effect on Jeffrey's vocals. Not all the time. However, it was very present.
Yeah.
And they reference an artist that inspired them.
Oh no.
And so this is an Wait. Artist that they're iconic.
Are they?
And honestly, when I think back on my favorite songs. Of the decade.
Oh God.
This one is up there. This one talks to my love of pop music and a great vocalist. Spoiler, I do own this record on vinyl. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very excited to talk about it. Elliot.
Yeah.
Next time.
Uh-huh.
I present to you Cher's Believe.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Keep an eye out for that, for the opening track, the title track. Arguably one of the more influential and important tracks of the past 30 years. I think
you could argue that.
I think it really introduces like that like auto-tune effect that you see throughout the early aughts and even today.
Well, Eiffel 65, I'd agree with you. You know, if you're gonna go share on me, I'm gonna pull this one on you.
Hit me.
In February of 1998, an album called In the Aeroplane Over the Sea came out. And it's by a band called Neutral Milk Hotel.
Oh.
We're gonna do that. And we're gonna do that. Because if you keep on pulling this bullshit with me, where you bring up Eiffel 65 and Cher and Madonna, I'm gonna come after your ass. And like, oh, you think you like rock? Like, how about this? And I'm gonna indie your ass. into the ground, Jake.
Nutrimilk, super indie, like
it's like a definitive indie. Yeah,
it's like a proto Death Cab for Cutie, in a lot of ways.
How, get that name out of your mouth. Like, no, I love Death Cab, but yeah, neutral, like that's it's like they are above it.
Nick, thanks again for being our first ever guest on Sippin' Mimos, or for tonight, When You Sip Upon a Star.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a blast. Check out Mickey in Minutes wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, please do. It's very informative and cool.
Bite-sized pieces of Disney knowledge that, will make your day a little brighter. So definitely give that a follow. I think that does it. So I'm gonna take the first star on the right and then go on till morning.
If you hit the Waffle House, you've gone too far.
Can you text me those directions again? Because I don't even know. Just
I'll drop a pin.
Drop a pin and I'll try to get the Google Maps is being weird.
It won't take you to other dimensions.
Well, this came out in the 50s, so I think we're using MapQuest at this point. That was such a dad joke. I'm like, that's where we have to end. Does anyone not remember MapQuest? Silence.
Yeah. Guys, I have news. I ended up at the DreamWorks park instead. I'm training a dragon now. I don't even know what's going on.
Wrong watch studio.
Watch out for those ogres.
Shoot. I'm sure we'll meet up again. This has been fantastic.
Absolutely.
Nicholas, what a dream. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. This is awesome.
As always, you can find Sip Mimos on all the things, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow on Instagram, sipmimospod.com. If you missed earlier, our buddy Nick, he's at Mickey in Minutes. Give him a follow. Check out his stuff. He really knows his stuff, and you will enjoy it.
Oh, and as always,
hey, stay sipping.
Stay sipping.